Good afternoon. Our second edition of House Transportation. Good afternoon. On May 14th, we've got three bills on our work session calendar this afternoon, and House Bill 3569 we will not work today. It will be rescheduled for a work session either Wednesday or Friday of this week. I'd like to start with House Bill 3548. Open a work session, House Bill 3548. John, can you give us a brief on the bill and the dash one amendment, please?
Yes. Chair, sorry, members of the committee, you have House Bill 3548 before you for the second time. It specifies criteria for determining what constitutes reasonable access for proposed roads. We had lengthy discussion, as you know, on this bill before, basically because we just got the dash one proposed amendment late this afternoon, and we're in that type of zone right now in the process. Just to generalize for you, it creates a new definition of reasonable access, and the criteria is listed there on the amendment. There is no revenue impact on this bill, and you have received, since the last time we met, a fiscal statement that you should all have in your packet. The fiscal statement basically says, based on the original bill, that the fiscal impact is indeterminate. Thank you, Chair Starr.
Thank you. I move the dash one amendments to House Bill 3548. The discussion. Is there objection? Seeing none, dash one amendments are adopted. I move the House Bill 3548 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. The discussion, Representative Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, as someone who in the last week has not had the opportunity to attend this meeting very often, have all the parties agreed to this at this point, or?
No, they have not.
They have not.
No.
Okay.
Other questions? Comments? Jennifer, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye. No. No.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. I'll carry the bill. We will open a work session on House Bill 3408. John, can you give us just a quick update on this bill? We've got the dash 5 amendment. Representative Merkley, as I know, is in legislative council right now, hoping to get another amendment to the bill. John, can you?
Yes, Chair Starr, members of the committee, I just say that this bill is being worked and reworked, and we have several amendments out here. One of the latest, we had received the dash 3 early this morning just before committee hearing at 8, and now since that time, and we didn't really meet on this bill, we received a dash 4 amendment the dash 5 amendment just now, of which time I do not have time to obviously look at it, but this is a gut and stuff as far as the overall amendments that we are doing, because they're creating a regional transportation authority and a regional transportation authority district through an intergovernmental agreement. That's the general concept of this bill. And as you can see by the amendment, it creates a lot of new definitions. Some of those definitions are what an agency and a county is, an authority, a board, a district, a local government, a revenue-raising measure, sub-district, transportation project or program. And that last definition is further qualified in the amendment because you're creating basically a whole new concept here. Regarding the bill, there is no revenue impact on this bill, and I understand there also may be a dash 6 amendment, maybe a dash 4 amendment, and they're running around here, and I don't know where they're at, but they're here.
Mr. Chair,
yes, Senator.
The dash 6 is en route, and it is the dash 5 with one small change.
So it does incorporate the dash 5 amendment.
Yes.
Perfect. Excellent. Dennis, could you come up and address the changes to the amendments from our original draft. If you have someone else that you want to bring, feel free to do so.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dennis Mulvihill, Washington County. I'm going to work off of my notes, and I'll tell you what I took down. I haven't got a copy of that dash, five, I think it is, but I think it'll probably cover those and tell you what's in them. From the committee members' comments the other day, there was, I think, two or three things that we thought we needed to pick up. There were some questions about the bond authority without a vote, and that's been taken care of. There was some confusion, I think, between about what could be or could not be allowed as far as this, with an authority like this. And we had three or four attorneys working on that angle, so I think that part is fine. The authority does exist for GO bonds for this entity. There was three or four changes that were, I would call grammatical, where what we thought we wanted to get at needed some fine-tuning, and we've had, that's what's taken so long here, is to get everybody to look at it and say, okay, that will get us what we want. The public hearings part, which Representative Merkley was interested in, and I understand he has got, Representative Merkley has got another amendment to it. In the very last section, section 6, it's got public meetings stuck in it. As that, in other words, that this authority is subject to public meetings law, and I think that amendments that Representative Merkley spoke of, which requires that you have three public hearings, would be amenable to that. That's okay. And there was some language dealing with what sorts of projects this would take up. And again, it's a wordsmithing to make sure that if this entity that's created the authority could only pick up those projects that were, I guess in our vernacular here, it'd be the highest priority, the ones that hadn't been, were not, couldn't get funded as of this date. So those had to be picked up first. So that, in other words, you couldn't go decide you wanted to do a project that hadn't gone through the local process and become a part of a regional plan. You had to only pick off the top projects that came up through a public process and ended up being the top projects in that region. So you wouldn't have and a board that would go reach at the bottom and say, well, we like this one here, and take it out. It prevents that from happening. And that one was a difficult one to first get. We've got it. I think when you can get cities, counties, and thousands of tens agreeing on language, then you probably come, you know, about as close as you're going to as far as getting that. I believe those were all of the elements of it that we asked to have picked up in these amendments. I will say, in working with all the local governments involved here and the private sector, that we understand that there still may be some loose ends, but it's substantially there. And if, as we find things, there's an agreement that if you see to it that this moves over to the other side, there's a commitment by all involved, we will make this thing work. It won't be an embarrassment when it comes out and is signed by the governor.
Thank you. And Jeff, do you want to do further talk about how you work the amendments?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm looking at the dash six, which is the dash five, with one change, one addition. And the addition is on page, there we go. Page five, line two, and it's also subclause two of section three. Before referring a revenue-raising measure to the electors, an authority shall hold at least, and it should read, and I'd like to conceptually amend it to read, three public hearings with an S added to hearing related to the proposed measure. Procedures and conditions shall be established through the intergovernmental agreement entered into under section two of this 2001 act.
Mr. Chair?
Nothing.
Representative Merkley, when you say an authority, could you define that? Or Humphrey's here, maybe he could define it.
The authority, Representative Nelson, is defined on section one, page one, sub two. Representative Berger.
I have several questions. Could explain to me why Metro or an MPO couldn't do that right now? Couldn't they go out for a levy of some kind for a vote?
Representative Devlin has his hand up.
Yes, they could, but no, they can't. Metro has a different boundary than obviously the three counties have. TriMet has a different boundary from what Metro has, and the Port of Portland have a different boundary from what the other two have. They all have their own sort of internal issues. Is that a polite way of looking at it? And to some degree, there's a lot of people that trust each of them, and to some degree, I might be too frank here, there's a lot of people that don't trust them in some ways. So actually, a cooperative arrangement like this that is a tool might be a better vehicle in terms of getting all of the parties to agree.
Well, I'm just trying to wrestle here, Mr. Chairman, with the points that I think are good ones, because I have reservations, and I think I keep wondering, what's the rush? I feel like, you know, we're just flying through here with really major changes, and I'm not really excited to make major decisions in a big hurry that will not only impact in a favorable way the people that are involved in this tri-county arrangement, but the people that will be impacted in a way that are not involved in this. And so I think Representative Nelson and I have to worry about the fact that we may be impacted, but it might not be favorable. So is there a big rush to get this through?
Representative Berger, the honest question is yes.
Yes.
And that's why you've seen us hustling around and people waiting in legislative council for the bill or for the amendment. We are at the time of the session when, by voting this bill to the floor today, it will be voted on possibly by the end of this week, depending on the time schedule. The fact is that the Senate has shut down committees, and this bill will likely go to the Rules Committee in the Senate, where it will be competing with hundreds of other bills to have some limited time of discussion in the Senate Rules Committee, because the Senate has decided that, for whatever reason, that it's appropriate to shut down substantive working committees in the Senate. And quite honestly, we're at the end of the session, and this bill has had significant work done all session long. Really, for over a year, a group has been meeting trying to formulate and get to agreement on this issue. And it comes down to a time before a legislative committee where we're faced with deadlines and shutting down the session. The chance, quite frankly, of this getting to the floor and passing and getting to the Senate committee is a slim one at this stage of the session. I would have liked to have been at the point we are this afternoon a month ago, We couldn't quite get there a month ago. We're barely here now. And with the good work and the negotiations of members on this committee and the interest that are sitting in the audience, I think that we are at a point where there's general agreement, some kind of consensus of the interested parties that are going to bring a regional transportation authority forward in our various counties around the state. And in a perfect world, would I adjourn this work session and bring this bill back a week from now and give everybody a chance to really look and read and digest and study and feel perhaps a little more comfortable voting for this? Absolutely, I would. But unfortunately, we're in a stage in the session when that isn't the case. I don't have that luxury at this time. I've got, I believe, 11 bills scheduled for Wednesday's hearing or committee date. I've got 9 or 10 bills scheduled for Friday, and I'm supposed to shut down on Friday, but we're going to have an additional hearing on Monday because we just can't get our other work done. So that's just kind of a little bit of an explanation of where we are in a session and why I'm asking this committee to consider what you're absolutely correct in recognizing as a very important piece of legislation, no question about it.
And Mr. Chairman, I feel like it's important for the tri-county that we're looking at. What I reason is that when you transfer that same philosophy over to some other sections, it doesn't work as well. The money is not there, the numbers of people are not there, and so forth. And I want to be a player here and help the areas that need help in one way, but I don't see it as a statewide solution.
If I can address that as well, I wish that Judge Pryor were here right now, because I think she would sit right there, and I am slow to put words in her mouth, but I believe she would say that this is a tool that could be used statewide in the various counties and jurisdictions around the state. In fact, at her request, the Senate bill was introduced. I believe Senator Farioli introduced it on her behalf. That addressed a very similar process by which counties could join together to deal with specific projects. And in fact, I know that some of her ideas were gleaned out of that Senate bill and incorporated into this bill. I think the League of Oregon Cities and the Association of Counties have testified in support of the bill, not because it only affects the Tri-County area, but I think they recognize it as a tool, a potential tool, that can be used to deal with specific transportation needs that affect more than one jurisdiction. Will every county in the state take advantage of this tool that we're hopefully will create this afternoon and get passed on the House floor in the near future? Absolutely not. I don't see that happening in every county. But are there counties, groups of counties, communities that will take advantage of this tool that hopefully we will give them today? I think that answer to that is yes. And I think that short of a statewide plan to finance and fund our transportation system that adequately and appropriately meets the needs of the various communities all over the state, this is an additional tool that we can give to our cities and our counties and the interest groups around the state to appropriately deal with transportation needs. A key component of this, from my perspective, is the public has to vote before they're taxed to support or not support, if they so choose, the particular plan that an RTA would bring to the voters and to the polls. And to me, that's very important.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that it is one of the guardians or one of the guards that are there, one of the hurdles that have to be overcome before taxes are levied on the public. So I appreciate your concern. I would love to have you support the amendments in the bill, but if you don't, I understand that as well.
So sure.
Representative Murphy.
Could I ask for representatives of Oregon Environmental Council and Thousand Friends to comment on the S6 and see if they're set?
Please.
Yes, afternoon, Chair Starr, members of the committee. Chair Starr, Representative Merkley, did you say dash seven?
The dash six.
Dash six, okay.
What you don't know, in this moment.
Coming in another 5 minutes.
So, I didn't quite hear, I heard you call us up, but...
Have your issues and your concerns been addressed by this version of the bill?
Chair Starr, Representative Merkley, I guess I want to say a few things about that. One is that the other interested parties here have been very good to work with, and I really appreciate the deliberative nature of this committee and the questions being raised by its representatives, and also the fact that the other interests have been very cooperative and also very straightforward about their interests and willing to work with us. I think that substantially, yes, we are, I guess, cautiously neutral still, largely because our concerns about governance and project selection, the universe of projects that can be selected, have been largely resolved. And also there is some kind of language tightening up that happened in the Dash 6 amendments. And the public participation and component of the Dash 6 amendments that you talked about as well, I think on page 5, is that right? Right, page 5, line 2, subsection 2, section 3. Is very important to us. We feel that public hearings up front before projects are put out to the voters will ensure that concerns are incorporated into the list of projects that goes out to the voters, as well as giving the RTA board some time to reflect on what they're hearing from people. So we advocate strongly for citizen involvement and participation, and we think that's an excellent amendment. So in a word, yes.
A specific question. On the last page of the bill, page 7, line 5, where it says a transportation project program may be funded only if the project or program is included in and consistent with the financially constrained version of an adopted regional transportation plan. Does that meet your concerns about project selection?
I think that substantively that does meet our concerns. I have a small Venn diagram that I was able to whip up after muscling in on a computer in legislative library that I can show to folks that explains our rationale for asking for that language. But I would say if people aren't interested in seeing my geometry exercise, the answer is yes.
That is an official term, financially constrained?
That's an official term. It's a federal Department of Transportation term that all metropolitan planning organizations are required to have in their regional transportation plan.
What's it called?
Financially constrained. And so it used to be in the olden days that MPOs could have a huge wish list that was, you know, 20 feet long and scrolled out down the street full of objects, but there's more of those, actually.
Chair Starr, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Chris Hagerbaumer. I work at the Oregon Environmental Council. Our two major issues had to do with really which projects might get funded. If the Regional Transportation Authority picked projects out of the vacuum, that would not be acceptable to us. But if indeed they're chosen out of the regional transportation planning process and really are the projects that have risen to the top out of this vast public participation process, we have to decide what are most important. That's good with us. And then secondly, I believe that Representative Merkley's proposed amendment that would call for 3 public hearings by this authority makes a lot of sense for people to have a chance to talk about not only how much money is raised, but what mechanism under which we would raise money for these projects.
For the record, I forgot to say my name, Jacob Rostoff with 1000 Friends of Oregon. My apologies.
Thank you. I guess my comments to the committee are that I've become more comfortable with this bill for several factors. Thank you for your testimony. One is that virtually all the entities in a regional transportation authority area have to concur. The exception is that only a majority of the cities are required. Second, that any measure has to be put to a public vote. And upon close reading of the earlier draft and consultation with Legislative Council, it turned out that there were areas that you could raise revenue without going to public vote. That's been corrected in this version. You may read early on in the bill something that may draw that into doubt. It says, under Section 3, Regional Transportation Authority may, by board resolution, refer to electors... ... But If you look later in the language, there is a requirement under, let's see, page 6, line 26, an authority may not impose, issue, change a tax fee, toll, assessment, or general obligation, dot, 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 without approval by a majority of electors voting the revenue-raising measure in the district or sub-district, subject to the revenue-raising measure. So I think it's been clarified that everything absolutely has to go to a public vote. We discovered in the process of looking at the public meetings law that public meetings law does not require a public hearing, that is testimony, the opportunity for people to testify. And so we wanted to make sure that everyone with an interest had an ability to present their ideas and concerns before a plan was forged that went to the voters. So that has been addressed. And then finally, there was concern that projects would be created out of thin air and promoted. And I think that restraining the list to the financially constrained list addresses that point. So I become more comfortable with it. I think we've ironed out a few of the wrinkles, and I'll support the bill, and I think it will be another tool for areas facing rapid growth and congestion to try to solve their problems. I remain concerned about one aspect of this, which is that I'm concerned that if people in a specific area fund several local projects, that they'll be much more resistant to general state funding to address all of the state's transportation needs. So I'm hoping that doesn't materialize.
Thank you, Representative Merkley. I've just addressed your last point. I think that a statewide solution was also recognized as a need by local government, those who would form an RTA, and I think that they would be sensitive to such an issue. Any other comments, questions, Representative Nelson?
Could you pardon my ignorance, Mr. Chair?
Oh, really?
I just want to understand this. I guess from a legal beagle. Whatever three counties or three units, it doesn't have to be three counties, as I understand.
It doesn't have to be three.
It doesn't have to be three. It could be two, right? I mean, it could be two cities. It could be two counties. But yet, I guess my concern is that one type of regional of authority does not fit other regions, and I'm concerned that should we use this same term, I mean, financially constrained means certainly something much different in Yamhill County than it means in Linn County, where they've got $30 million in the bank, or whatever it is.
I think your concern is that you have maybe a one-size RTA language that looks at every area of the state.
Yes, I think that
if you look at the amendments, that it is relatively broad in the scope to which how they could be formed. I think there's certainly some ability for unique characters of each region of the state to come forward out of a RTA from different areas of the state. I think what we're doing is we're creating what could be a skeleton that could be used to create an RTA in different parts of the state, but just a skeleton, and that local areas could certainly put the meat and the flesh on it in a different way. It doesn't dictate a one solution to funding mechanism, for instance. How they fund a solution in the northwest corner of the state and how they do in another part of the state could be very different. It allows for that flexibility.
Well, follow up, Mr. Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Could we possibly call Mr. Conley so I could ask him a couple questions?
Harrison Humphreys Conley, for the record, Legislative Council.
Someone pointed out that I can't sneak into a room, so.
A little bit difficult. Thank you. Mr. Chair and Attorney Conley, could you help me understand through this agreement that the STIP is now disregarded? That this regional authority has not whatsoever, does not have to abide by the STIP at all, those projects that are already identified, should they be formed? I just need to understand that.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, I think you're talking about a transportation planning document or process, and I'm going to have to say I am probably the last person you want to try to tell you about the transportation issues. But one of the things I heard you say, you mentioned the financially constrained language, and I think that does not refer to the local government, that refers to the transportation projects that are on that are on the adopted transportation plan. I think the way that process works, and again, I think there are people who are far better to answer this than I am, but I think you start with sort of a wish list. You throw all of your potential transportation projects on the table, make some sort of a determination about cost, and then you winnow the list down to the most needed projects or the most financially viable projects. So I think that term does not make for a one-size-fits-all. I think it means that the projects that are under consideration here are the most important for any particular region, the most financially viable within that region.
Follow up, Mr. Chair. So I guess by this same language, could we empower the MIDWAC committee, the Mid-Willamette Area Transportation Commission, to have the same authority as the board that could go out and seek funding? And the only difference is they've, you know, supported our STIP position. Could they do that? Could they be called a regional authority?
Mr. Chair, Representative Nelson, I think that it is a mechanism which is potentially viable in various parts of the state. Because the authority is going to be essentially created by an intergovernmental agreement, it is those local parties that would come together and, in fact, determine what their structure looks like. I think they would be making choices amongst the projects that are on that transportation plan, again, in light of what they perceive the local need to be. I'm not an economist, so I'm not in a position to tell you how the numbers pencil out if you want to put three eastern counties together as opposed to three metropolitan counties. But the mechanism does seem to me to make sense for various regions to establish local priorities.
Just to answer your question, the MIDWAC, is that what you call them? We call it Mid-Willamette Valley?
Mid-Willamette Area.
Area Commission.
Commission.
Made up of the counties and the cities within that area. They could come together and form an RTA and mm-hmm. deal with transportation projects in their area, absolutely.
Mr. Chair, my concern, for example, in our area, we're very high on the STIP. Where's Director Warner? Grace Crankin's here. Well, Doug's here, and so he knows, and Mr. Marsh. I'd hate for us to lose our position by a regional area transportation group being formed that do not believe our position up high on that STIP is now important because they won't like rail or four-lane highway.
Let me just address that one specific concern. My understanding is that an RTA bill would actually assist, if you're high on the STIP, it actually would assist you because the projects from which RTAs would grab projects, the project list, are some of those in the financially restrained or constrained list. You'd be plucking projects out of that list, which would mean more money left over for the other projects left on the STIP, on the high on the STIP. So I can see a scenario by which us passing this bill would actually aid and assist the other projects that would be left in that financially constrained list. Mm. I I've got a member that has to leave at 5 o'clock, so I don't want to shut down debate or conversation about
this. No, that's fine.
But, we do have the delegates amendments that have some conceptual work done in them.
Sure.
Representative Merkley.
I move to suspend the rules to make a conceptual change to the Dash 6 amendment.
Representative Merkley has moved to suspend the rules to allow for conceptual amendments to the Dash 6 amendment. Is there objection? Seeing none?
For sure.
Representative Merkley.
I think at this point I can move the Dash 6 and state the conceptual amendment at the same time.
Let's amend it conceptually, and then we'll...
I am amending the Dash 6 amendment on page 5, line 3, which currently reads, authority shall hold at least one public hearing related to the proposed. The word one would be changed to three, and the word hearing would be changed to hearings.
Other questions to the conceptual amendment? Other objections? Amendment passes.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Merkley.
I move the Dash 6 amendment to House Bill 3408.
Representative Merkley has moved the Dash 6 amendments to House Bill 3408. There additional conversation regarding the Dash 6 amendments. Is there objection? Seeing none, the Dash 6 amendments are adopted.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Merkley.
I move House Bill 3408. As amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
So Merkley has moved House Bill 3408 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any other discussion? Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you. Just briefly, Mr. Chair, I appreciate the need to move this bill forward, and because of that, I will support this motion. However, I must say I'm extremely nervous today. I have somewhat the same feeling of trepidation that I had in votes last session on bills that now have come back to haunt us and seem to be dominating the session. So while I am supporting the motion today, I felt the need to say that for the record and that I reserve the right to change my position on the floor.
Thank you very much. In fact, I appreciate that. I appreciate that on the record. And again, in a perfect world, I wouldn't be forced to be in a time-constrained environment that we are.
Mr. Chair.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Generally, I do not appreciate the concept of growing government and establishing additional layers of bureaucracy. In fact, that always makes me a bit nervous. I see some advantages to doing this, and I think that I'm willing to go along with it because I think it'll be an excellent catalyst for actually, and I'll shut up, Representative Devlin, a catalyst for solving some regional transportation issues up there. And so I'll vote yes.
Thank you very much. Other comments? We have a roll call.
Chairman, I'd like to make a comment.
Please.
Why not?
I want to tell you that I, too, am going to go along with it, but for a different reason. I'm nervous about it as well, but I honestly believe that in your area of the state, you need help, and you need some tools, and you need to take care of things. This isn't the way I'd like to see it done, but because I do feel so strongly you need help, I'm going to certainly vote to get it to the floor.
Thank you very much. Representative Donner.
Mr. Chair, what the hell? Let's all get nervous together.
Speaking of nervous, do we have a vote, please?
Hi.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes.
Oh my God.
Let's go sit on the consent calendar.
No, I want to hear Jeff explain it.
I'll clear the
fight down on
the floor. I appreciate the committee very much for your attendance this afternoon.
Oh, my goodness.
Very much. Thank you.
Good job, Jeff.
Yeah.
Bruce.
Thank you.
I hope they don't disregard.